All right, let's pray. Father, Father, thank you so much that we can just, we even have the ability to come into your presence. God, it is the very heartbeat of who we are. It's the life in us. And God, I don't ever want to take that for granted. I want to see clearly all that Jesus Christ died to give me, and I want to become it, and I want to live in it. Father, I'm asking you that by your Holy Spirit, you will come today. God, that you will open our eyes to see who we really are. God, it truly is a mystery, but God, you have willed to make known that mystery in us. Father, help us to see, help us to understand. These are spiritual things that can only be spiritually discerned by your Spirit. So come and help us. Help me, God. Help me to say what you've given me to say in a way that we can all understand it. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I need some volunteers. You all are going to help me. All right, Tom, is this ringing? I don't know why. Help me. Help me. Cooper and Carol. It's the birthday girl.
My birthday buddy.
Come on.
We have the same birthday.
October 2nd.
Yes, we do.
October 2nd. Okay, so you all kind of know these people, but let's just imagine I don't know you, Carol. Okay, and I come up to you and I say, tell me something about yourself. Who are you?
My name is Carol Myers. I'm a child of God. I'm a mother of four. And if there's anything I can do to help you, I will.
Awesome. Okay, her name is Carol, child of four, child of God.
I'm a mother of four,
child of God.
Yeah.
Cooper, man, I know your name's Cooper, but who are you?
I'm a person.
You're a person. Okay. Is there anything else that I need to know about who you are? Who are you? Oh, he's a child of God. Yeah, that works. Tom! This is Tom Stone, everybody. Everybody give Tom a hand. Who are you, Tom?
Somebody seeking God all the time.
Somebody seeking God all the time. All right. Tell me something about you.
I like the outdoors.
He likes the outdoors.
And
you like to ride his bike. The man rides hundreds of miles all the time.
Yes.
All right. All right, so now we know a little bit about who these guys are, okay? We know a little bit about them. All right, thanks, guys. Okay, I'm still ringing. It's okay. It just makes life more interesting. All right, so what we're going to talk about today is who am I? Who am I? It's the second most important question we can ever ask ourselves. Who am I? We'll get to the first one here pretty soon. Our identity is very important. It's good to know who we are. Okay? Not just on the outside, but who am I in the very depths, the very core of who I am? We all know in America today, we suffer from a whole lot of identity crisis. Oh, I'm sorry. First and second graders, please be dismissed to your children's church class. All right. I think they're gone. Awesome. Not that they're gone. Just got class. All right. I'm feeling kind of goofy today. I'm sorry, you guys. Okay. From the very beginning of creation, the enemy has worked very hard to try to distort who we are and who God is. To tell us who we're not. He's tried to tell us that we're not enough, and that we're no good, and that God is holding out on us. Let's look at Genesis 3, 1 through 6. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it. Nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.' Here comes the lie. 'For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So the woman saw the tree, that it was good for food, that it was pleasant for the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. So she took its fruit, and she ate it. And she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. You see, when he came and he said, you know, you can be like God, what he was really saying is, you're not enough. There's something more. God's holding out on you. Doesn't he still do that to us today? Yes. It's a lie. It's a lie. And see, when they took that fruit and they ate it, they believed the lie. And the thing is, they didn't become like God. They become less than human. Because they were then less than what God had created them to be. Yes. He ruined their identity. Yes. Satan's lie distorts who God is and who we are. Satan lies and he says, you know what? You don't have to bear the image of God. You can bear your own image. You can be your own person. You can live independent from God. We were created by God to be his very containers, to contain him, to bear his image, not our own. He designed us that way. We are wired to house God. Acts 17:28 says, in him we live and we move and we have our being. We cannot live our full created potential, who God made us, apart from God. The devil knows that, and he's working very hard because he knows that if he can separate us from God, then he can destroy us. And how does he do that? He tries to tell us something we're not. He wants to separate us from God, from life itself. So why is it so important that we know who we are? Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think about yourself, what you hear, you become. And another reason is because every failure or defeat that we have, whether it's spiritually, whether it's emotionally, whether it's in our minds or physically, springs from not knowing or understanding or rejecting who we are. Who God says we are. We have a false identity. When I don't know my true identity, it becomes the foul soil in which anxiety, worry, and fear spring from. We have to know who we are. To truly know and understand who we are, we need to have a right understanding of who God is. After all, he's the one who made us. We can't, because we were so designed to be one with God, we can't truly understand who we are until we have a right understanding of who he is. So we're going to take a look at that. Who is God? Who is God? Jesus asked his disciples, when all the other people left him, and he pulled them aside and he said, who do you say that I am? So let me ask you guys, who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say that he is? It's the most important question. There's the number one most important question that any of us can ask ourselves. Who is Jesus? Who is God? A.W. Tozer says, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And how can we know who God is? God has revealed himself to us, and he's kept a record of that right here. This is God's unveiling of himself to mankind, and he was kind enough to give us a record of it, because who knows, if we didn't, and we do it anyway, we come up with our own thoughts. We come up with our own opinions of who God is, and really, anything opposite of what God has said about himself, you are creating a God of your own making. It is not the one true God. God is God because he said he is. We can only know God by who he's revealed himself to be. We can't come up with our own ideas. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a few attributes of God. And an attribute of God is whatever God has said in any way he has revealed himself as being true about himself. Okay, so basically it's God saying, this is what's true about me and I'm revealing it. Okay, it's not something we can come up with in our own mind, because think about it. God is God. God is incomprehensible. So who are we to think that we can even know him apart from what he said about himself? He's incomprehensible. Like, Who can really understand all that God is unless he shows us? Here are some of his attributes, what God himself has revealed about himself. It isn't something that Nikki came up with. It isn't something that somebody else came up with. It's what's revealed in his word. Number one, God is three in one. Now that is incomprehensible. He is one, but he's three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He works, he's one, three, one. Okay, it makes my head hurt. I love telling the kids that on Wednesday nights because they go, you know. I said, I'm there with you. God is self-existent. He needs absolutely nothing outside of himself to exist. He's self-sufficient. We need things to continue to live. God doesn't. He is self-existent and self-sufficient. God is eternal. He never had a beginning and he never had an end. He just goes on and on forever. I love telling the kids that too because they go, well, when was he born? He wasn't. God never has a birthday. And he will never die. He's infinite. I love this one. God is infinite. That means he's boundaryless. He has no limits whatsoever. We have limits. We can't comprehend it because we are created in a limited atmosphere. God has no boundaries. He just goes on and on and on and on. He's huge. He's vast. God is all-knowing. God knows everything. God is knowledge itself. God knows every thought that you think, every action that you do. He knows it all. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He made creation by the word of his mouth. There's nothing that God can't do. He's powerful. He is power itself. He's present everywhere. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your presence? If I ascend to the heights, you are there. If I go down to the depths of the earth, you are there. There is nowhere we can go to escape God. He's everywhere. God is faithful. God is good. God is just. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is love. God is holy. He is completely other than us. I think that's where some people go wrong in their thinking about God is because we try to bring God down to our level. You can't. He's holy. He's completely other. That's what makes him God. He's sovereign. He rules over all things. There is nobody that can even get close to him. The devil might try to think that he can, but he can't. The devil's defeated. God is sovereign. He is the ruler over all creation. And here's where it hurts my head. God is all of these things, all at once, all the time. When God is just, he is also merciful and gracious. God is all-powerful, but he's also compassionate. He is all things. Not one thing works separate from another. He is all things, all the time, all at once. Hallelujah. I don't want a God I can comprehend. I don't want a God I can fathom. I need something that's bigger than me because that's what I was created for. So when I look at this, I'm kind of like David in Psalm 8:4. I'm like, what is man that you are mindful of him? Who are we that you would come and visit us? This supreme God who I just, wow. It leaves me speechless. So have you ever stopped to ask yourself, what does God think about me? What does God say that I am? What was in the mind of God when he created you, when he knit you together in your mother's womb? What was he thinking about you, Larry? What was he thinking about you, Brenda? What was God thinking about? Marcy, what is God's passion and desire for you when he created you? What is in the heart of God for you? I'm going to let you know because he tells us in his word. What I'm going to read to you now, it's all scripture, but it's been kind of put in the form of a letter, and I want you all to think of it as a letter specifically written for you of God telling you his passion, his desire, and his purpose for you. This is what God says about you. He says, I am the creator, and you are the creation. I breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. I created you in my own image. My eyes saw your unformed substance. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I know the number of hairs on your head. And before a word was spoken on your tongue, I knew it. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are more valuable than many sparrows. I have given you dominion over all the sheep of the field, the oxen and the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. I have crowned you with glory and honor as the pinnacle and final act of the 6 days of creation. However, from the very beginning, you exchanged the truth about me for a lie. You worshiped and served created things rather than me, the Creator. You have sinned and fallen short of my glory. And in your sin, you were spiritually dead. You were children of wrath, living as enemies of me. You turned aside from me. You became corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. What you deserve is my righteous judgment. And yet, in my great love, I gave my unique Son, that all those who believe in him will not die but have everlasting life. While you were still sinners, Christ died for you. While you were still hostile towards me, you were reconciled to me by the death of my Son. Sin doesn't have the last word. Grace does.
Yes. Yeah.
You who believed are born again. I have adopted you. You are the children of God and heirs of God. You are no longer orphans. You belong to me. And I love you as a perfect father. In my eyes, you are a brand new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Sin no longer has to be your master. For you died to sin, and now you are alive in me. You are finally free from the slavery of sin and death. There is no condemnation for you. All your sins are forgiven. All your unrighteousness has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You are now righteous in my sight, and the very righteousness of my perfect Son. You have been saved by grace. You have been justified by faith. You are utterly secure in me. Nothing will be able to separate you from my love in Jesus. No one is able to snatch you out of my hand, and I will never leave you or forsake you. Look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. He is the author and perfecter of your faith. Jesus is in you by my Spirit. Stay close to Jesus. Abide in him, for your life is found in him. Don't live by your own power or your own understanding. No, live by my Spirit within you. Remember, I have given you the Holy Spirit to be with you and in you. The Spirit will guide you into all truth, help you obey me, and empower you to do my work. As you seek me and see my glory, I'm transforming you more into the image of my Son. One day you will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet sound. You will be delivered from the body of death through Jesus Christ, and your dwelling place will be with me. I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and death shall be no more. You will enter my rest, inherit the kingdom I've prepared for you, and step into the fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore. But most of all, you will see my face and be where I am. You are no longer darkness but light in my Son. I have called you. I have chosen you. You are now a saint, a servant, a steward, and a soldier. You are a witness and a worker. Through Jesus, you are victorious. You have a glorious future. You are a citizen of heaven, and you are an ambassador of my Son. That's who God thinks of you. I don't know. If that doesn't make you do the Holy Ghost jig, I don't know what will. Hallelujah. That is what God says. That is God's desire, God's passion for you. That is who you are. Everything else is a lie. Our identity does not come from who the enemy says you are. Your identity does not come from what people say you are. Your identity... Sorry, lost my place. Your identity isn't what the world says that you are. So many times we try to figure out who we are by the latest style, by the latest fashion. That's not our identity. When Jesus walked the earth, people tried to identify him as well. When he was in the temple, he went there, and they gave him the prophet Isaiah to read, and it's the part where he says, you have anointed me to open the eyes of the blind. You know, he was declaring himself to be the Messiah. And what did they do? He said, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And they're like, what? That's Jesus. He's just the carpenter's son. Oh boy, were they wrong. He wasn't just the carpenter's son. He was the very Son of God. So you see, even with Jesus, they tried to do that. Don't let people tell you who you are. Let the Father define who you are. And do you know what else? You are not what you think you are.
That's right.
How many of you, I know I do this, I have all these thoughts rushing through my head. Oh, all day long, my brain never stops. Thoughts about who I am, my identity, what I think about myself. All these can form our identity and tell us who we are. Do you know scientists say that 1,200 words per minute go through our mind? 1,200 words a minute rush through our head. And of those 1,200 words, 1,100 of those words are negative. They're shame-producing. They put us down. Tell us that we despise ourselves. And they evaluate everything we do. 1,100 of 1,200 are negative. That's not who you are. You are not who you think you are. Some other ways that we try to define ourselves and see ourselves, and this one's a big one for America, is our sexual identity. We are not our sexual identity. You know, America says, well, either you're gay, you're straight, or you're bisexual, you're transsexual, you're all this, you know, all that. That is not who you are. You're not your sexual identity. You're not your social status. Or your job. Or what family you're from. You ever heard somebody say, well, you know those Myers. Or, you know, they're like that, you know those Hebs. You are not your family origin. Or we try to define ourselves by our sports teams. I'm a Cardinal fan, I'm a Cubs fan, I'm a Bears fan, I'm a Packers fan. That's not your identity. Or your intelligence, or your culture, the culture we live in, I'm an American. You're not your race. So that kind of throws out racism, doesn't it? The color of your skin does not define who you are. God just got really creative and unique and made life beautiful for some people. You're not your position. You're not, just because you're a pastor, that's not who you are. Just because you make donuts at Hardee's, that's not who you are. You're not your education. We're going to go a little bit deeper now. This is where sometimes it hurts. These things that happen to us can try to define us as I'm abused. I'm neglected. I'm not good enough. I'm not wanted. I'm not smart enough. I'm stupid. I'm alone. I'm used. I'm not lovable. I'm unloved. I'm hated. I'm a captive. I'm in bondage. I'm worthless. I'm forgotten. I'm a burden. I'm a failure. I'm weird. I used to think I was weird for years. I can remember the moment when God enlightened me and I went in my mirror and I looked at myself and I said, you're not weird. It was a happy moment for this girl. Or how about depressed? Doesn't that become our identity? Or anxious or crazy? Some people think they're crazy. Fat, ugly, or a victim. When we've been through things, it's real easy to let our identity be a victim. That's not who we are. These are all lies from the enemy. Some of these things may have happened to you. It may be what you do or where you're from, but it's not who you are. So who are you? If you're not all these things, who are you? Matthew 11:27, Jesus said, no one knows the Son except the Father. Okay, so all these people, you know, oh, he's just the carpenter's son. He's like, no. Nobody knows who I am except my Father. And can I say, nobody really knows who you are, who I am, except my Father. And he has revealed that in Jesus. So, I'm going to speak to those 1,100 words that run through our brains that lie to us. And I'm going to tell you that you are one who is in Christ. You are known and you are loved in the very mind and thought of God. His love for you was revealed in Jesus. Jesus came to share our humanity. He took upon himself all of our sin, all of our shame, and all of our guilt. And in the middle of the darkness, he whispers and says, "Sally, I'm coming for you. Julie, I've rescued you. You are special, Julie, and you are mine." He came from heaven right into the ghetto of our sin and all of our satanic oppression, where you lived and I lived in ignorance and darkness, and God put his big old loving arms around us and he carried us out. Yes, amen. Then he gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is within us, and he continually is working to open our inside eyes to see who we really are in him. Because, see, if we can really begin to see who we are, Jim, a whole new life opens up for us. Yes. You are in Christ. And let me give you a glimpse of what this new life looks like. You're forgiven. You're blessed. You're chosen. You're redeemed. You're alive. You're called. You're salt and you're light. You're special. You're included. You're a child of God. You're a friend of Jesus. Think about that. You are the temple of the living God. He said you're righteous. You're holy. You're dearly loved. You are a royal priest and part of God's holy nation. You're an enemy of the devil. I like that one. You're a member of Jesus' family. You are one with God. Think about that. You are one with God. You're an heir with Jesus. Everything that Jesus has is yours. You're a citizen of heaven. And you do have a sound mind because God's given you his. You are valuable. You were worth the price of the Son of God. Some people say, you know, that the cross signifies, you know, it just shows us our sin. No, the cross showed you your value. You were worth the blood of the Son of God. That makes you valuable. You are significant to him. You are accepted in him. You are wanted by him. And you are one with him. You are the house of the very presence of God. Let that sink in. Sometimes we can just say it and we can think it and we can know it. God. Remember? God. Lives inside of you. The enemy does not want you to walk with him, to walk with God. He doesn't want you to know him because you defeat him then. Did you know that you're royalty? You are part of a kingdom. You're royalty. How often do we walk around? You ever watch royalty? In America, we don't understand that, but you ever watch like people from England? I attended a 4 Days to Hope. It's through WIT Ministries. And at the end, you know, they tell you to put on your big girl panties and walk like the royalty you are. That doesn't mean we hang our head. Do you ever see kings and queens and princesses going, no. And it's not an arrogance. It's a confidence in who he is, who he is in us. We don't have to walk around defeated. We don't have to walk like they said with your nose to your belly button. Walk as the kings and the queens that you are. You are royalty. How can that be? Is it because of what we do? Oh, no, no, no. It's all because of Jesus. All because of that amazing grace that we sang about. What is grace? It's the almighty power of God to achieve in your life what his grace offers you. Unmerited favor. Because of Jesus, we are made alive spiritually. We've been reconciled to God, and we are connected to him again. See, I'm getting to our true identity. I'm just touching the surface right now. God is self-existent and self-sufficient, but we are not. We need God. We are made in His image to bear Him, His image. And the only way that is possible is for God to live inside of us. Nobody can be God but God. We can't be like God. If you try, you fail. Anybody ever tried? I remember when I first got saved, I said, okay, I got to love my enemies. I'm going to go do it. No, I just got more angry. It takes God inside. God, it takes God to be God. It is His life flowing through us like rivers of living water. God lives in us by His Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:26 through 27 speaks about a mystery that was hidden for ages from people, from all of creation. But you know what? God said He now wills to make it known to you and me. What is that mystery? What is that mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us. We were created. That is our purpose. Oneness with God, God living within us, is our ultimate identity. If we can really get that and really believe that God lives in me, it will change everything. That is who we were created to be. God has given us the limitless gift of Himself. Colossians 1:16 says, "For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him, through Him, and for Him." You were created for God. So don't let what someone did to you define you. Let what someone did for you. You know, I shared my story, you know, that I was raped at 12. I could continue to let that define me. I could let that continue to define me and lead me astray, or I can let what God did for me define me. Don't let life around you decide who you are. Let the life inside you define who you are. Your loss of job. Oh, I'm just a loser. No, you're not. It's just a job. It doesn't define you. Some of you have kids that have gone astray, and sometimes you think, I'm just an awful parent. No, you're not. That doesn't define you. Amen. You are distinguished because the Lord lives in you. You're set apart. You're exceptional. When Moses was leading the people to the promised land, they got to a place where God's like, I'm tired of these people. They won't listen to me. And He's like, you go on ahead, Moses. You lead these people. I am not going with you. And Moses is like, oh, this isn't going to be good. He's like, if you don't go with us, we're done. We're not going. I don't care what miracles you've worked. I don't care what the promised land promises. God, if you don't go with us, I'm not going. Because He knew that it was all about God's presence. All of life, everything we need is all about God's presence. It's what He died to give us. We are who we are because of Jesus, and our identity is rooted in our Father. And when you know who you are, then there is victory. Then there is a life of joy and love and compassion. Then you have a strength of mind and emotions and spirit. And then you really have exuberant praise. But when we don't know who we are, if we've forgotten or we've rejected what God says about us, then we have defeat. Then fears and anxieties and worries and failures and falls come because we don't know who we are. We can never live more than how we see ourselves. Remember, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You will never live above how you see yourself. If you think you're unloved, worthless, and a failure, it's what you're going to do. It's how you're going to live, whether you want to or not. But if you believe you're royalty, if you believe that you're an overcomer and a child of God, really believe it, that's how you'll live. And you won't always feel it. It's not about feelings. Our faith is not about feelings. Some days, I feel very less than royalty. I wake up and I'm tired and I'm grumpy. But you know, those pass. I don't live by my feelings. I live by what my Father says. Remember what people say about you is not who you are. That's just their opinion. Only your Father knows who you really are. It's my prayer that we will lose our earthly identity and embrace His. I was reading in Our Daily Bread today, and it says, "Who am I?" It really isn't a question about who am I. It's a question about whose am I. When we know whose we are, who lives in us, life changes. And it's a growing process. It's like I said at the beginning, it's a spiritual thing, so it has to be spiritually discerned. God, by His Spirit, has to come in and give us that revelation of who we are. Can you come on up, Melissa? You know, for too many years of my life, I defined myself by what was done to me. I let what was done to me, what was said about me. You know, my mom was the best mom she knew how to be. You know, she was kind of a perfectionistic mom, and we've talked about this. You know, she's sick today, so pray for her. But it left me feeling like I can never do anything good enough. And I believe that about myself. But what does God say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My Father lives in me. All those things that have been said to us, that have been done to us, the devil takes and he lies to us and he tries to say, that is who you are, and he is a liar. Yes. My call to you today is that you will begin. I pray that the Holy Spirit will create a hunger in your heart to really begin to know who you are. And you won't go to books, you won't go to people, you won't go to the world, you'll go to the Word of God. And you will begin to seek out for yourself, you and God, who you are. Yes. Because then life begins to change. Let my life be a testimony of that. Many of you, all of you guys, your lives are testimony of that. But I want to take just a few moments. If you have things in your life, if you're struggling with your identity, okay, who you are, if you're feeling worthless, if you're feeling like a rotten parent, if you're just whatever it is that might be, like, I'm useless. A lot of times when we get older, we begin to think, I'm useless. I'm old. Age has nothing to do with what God can do in and through you. Look at Moses. Look at Abraham and Sarah. Oh, my goodness. They were like in their 90s and 100s when they had a baby. Nothing is impossible with God. Your age does not define you. God in you defines you. So let me ask you, who are you? Who are you? If you aren't 100% certain of that, come and spend some time with Jesus. I'd love to pray for you. We have other people who will pray for you. Let that thing change in your heart this morning. Okay? I'm just going to pray. And if you do, so I know some of this stuff can seem heavy, and it's a very intimate thing with Jesus. And some people don't feel comfortable, and that's totally fine. But you go and you get alone with God. Okay? And you let Him change how you see yourself. Father, thank you so much for your word. Almighty God, there is nothing that is impossible with you. I thank you that you sent Jesus to die for us, to change us, God, to bring us back to the glory that you meant us to have when you created us at the very beginning. God, it can seem so impossible when we're faced with so much stuff, but I ask that you would help us to take our eyes off of earth, to place them on heaven, that God, we would begin to see you in a right way and begin to see ourselves as a reflection of who you are because you live within us. Father, we love you. God, we need you. We really do. We need you, God. We aren't self-existent. We need the living God. And so, Father, I ask that if there are hearts here who need that heart change, that shift to happen inside their spirits, I ask that you give them courage to come this morning, that you would begin to reveal to them who they really are. And I ask that you would just blow their minds away as you begin to show them. I love you, Father. In Jesus' name. If you want to come up here and spend time with the Lord, go ahead and come on up. We're just going to take a few moments here, Michelle.